comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. And by the way, you do matter, you know. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't matter, and don't let anybody make you feel like you don't matter, because it's the people who think you don't matter who don't matter. Happy birthday to Didymi. Didymi. Now, you're probably saying, well, who is that? Well, Didymi is, he is a songwriter. He is a music producer. And he produces and provides to us the majority of the music that you hear behind the video commercials on our TV station. And Didymi lives in Ploiești, Romania. I have been there. I didn't know Didymi at the time, but I have been there. And over the weekend, he had a birthday, so we want to wish him a happy birthday, and thanks, many thanks, for all the great music he provides for us to use here on the show. Are you subscribed to our free weekly newsletter? Well, you really ought to be. Ask yourself, let's see, it doesn't cost anything. It is very informative about what's going on with the show. It also has articles that are very interesting and important articles, and links to very interesting videos, audience feedback, and always a free download. And you got to ask yourself, if you're not subscribed, since it costs you nothing and you get everything, where's the genius in that? I mean, really, where's the genius in that? In order to subscribe, all you have to do is go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says K-Files. I want to thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for being with us Thursday and Friday night last week. I could not be here. I was intensely ill. And I'm recovering from a pretty severe tooth infection. The pain that goes with that is indescribable. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about because you've been through it, and it is just incredible, the intensity of the pain that goes with that. But I also had other symptoms. Wednesday night, I didn't think I was going to make it through the show, and then Thursday was an impossibility, so we had to do rebroadcasts, encore presentations of some great shows from the past, and I hope you enjoyed those. But I am glad to be back tonight, and we're going to be talking tonight with Samir Osmanagic, or Sam Osmanagic. People here in the United States, because we don't learn other languages very well, call him Sam. Bosnian pyramids, that's what we're going to talk about. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said before we went to break, my guest this evening is Semir Osmanagic. And people here in the United States, because I guess they find it difficult to say Semir, call him Sam. First, Semir, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And do you want me to refer to you as Semir or Sam?
Sam, you'll be fine. Thank you, Kevin. I'm really glad to be back.
You just arrived back in the United States, I believe, on Friday, right?
Yes, I had a conference and a lecture in Michigan, mm-hmm. The annual conference about the ancient artifacts in America, but I was talking about the pyramids as a worldwide concept, because they had been built on all six continents. And I gave an update on a project that I've been leading for the last 6 years, the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids. Before that, for 3.5 full months, I was back in Bosnia. We've had a lot of action on our archaeological sites, and we can discuss some of the aspects tonight.
Very good. Now, you discovered these pyramids, six, 7 years ago?
Yes, in April of 2005, when I was visited the country where I was born, Bosnia, I noticed a couple of hills regularly shaped with the triangular faces, four sides. When I took the compass to my hands, I realized that those sides perfectly matched the cardinal points, east, west, north, and south. Since I've been investigating pyramids all over the world in the last 25 years, I knew without no doubt that these are man-made structures, the first pyramids in Europe, and that they've been covered by soil and vegetation, the same like 250 pyramids in China, or thousands of pyramids in Mexico, Guatemala, and Salvador. And that's when I started the project of investigation. I established a non-profit foundation. And in the last 6 years, Kevin, we have spent 340,000 hours in archaeological digging, sample testing, radiocarbon datings. And now we are positive that we have the complex of the pyramids, which we named the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids, and six conclusions. Number one, these are the first pyramids in Europe. Number two, these are the biggest pyramids on the planet, because comparing to the Great Pyramid of Egypt, which is 450 feet high, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is 700 feet high. Number three, these are the oldest pyramids, because they've been covered by soil more than 12,000 years, according to the scientific analysis. Number four, the pyramids have been covered by the best quality concrete blocks. The samples have been sent to six independent labs in Bosnia, France, and Italy, and they all confirmed that this is a man-made concrete. Number five, under the Valley of the Pyramids is huge, most extensive network of underground tunnels, bigger than anyone in the world. And number six, in those tunnels, we are discovering a huge megalithic blocks. When we analyze them, the results said that these are ceramic sculptures. Any one of these elements changes the European and world history together, and all six, when they put together, will ask us to rewrite our history books completely, because when you change the beginning, everything else that followed had to be changed.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize how little we really know of history. I was doing some calculation the other day. We live in the Phanerozoic eon of time, and the first era, the first period of this eon of time that we live in, is the Cambrian. Now, that takes us back 542 million years. And to us, that sounds like a lot, but that's only 13% of the Earth's geologic age. And of that 13%, we think that something is really ancient if it's 10,000 years old or 12,000 years old. But 12,000 years represents 0.00221%. Again, 0.00221% of that 13%. So how much of civilization is back there beyond the veil, and we just don't even imagine that it's back there? And that's one of the reasons that I'm so interested in ancient sites. There are other reasons, but that's one. Because it reveals to us that there were highly intelligent people with technology capable of doing things we can't do today.
You're right, Kevin. Our problem is that we think that we are the first and most developed civilization ever on the planet. We think that our technology and our intellect is much more than anything before us. And we are so wrong, and we are so selfish. We try to explain the history in our schools by telling our kids that everything started 7,000-8,000 years ago with the Sumerians and Babylon and Akkad and Assyria and ancient Egypt and ancient India. But in reality, this is just the last cycle of human history. Homo sapiens sapiens has been around for hundreds of thousands of years. And before the end of the last ice age, before the biblical flood, we did have very advanced cultures that they were technologically and in construction aspect, astronomical and mathematical, far ahead of us. When you go to eastern Lebanon and you see in Baalbek a huge stone block which is 1,250 tons in weight, and compare it to our limits, and we can move only 350 tons, then you realize that there are the physical proofs of much superior civilizations in the past.
Now, you've been working with these Bosnian pyramids. You've been sort of saturated with this work, and I know that as time has passed, you've learned a great many things about these pyramids. For instance, you told us just a moment ago that these megalithic blocks in the tunnels are, you've had them tested, and they are actually ceramic.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, when we discovered the network of tunnels, we started cleaning and securing it for the researchers and the visitors. Every new meter is bringing new surprise. We find some of the megaliths from a couple of thousand pounds to 20,000 pounds in weight. When you see the surface, it's obvious that it has been shaped. It looks like a topography of terrain. So somebody very carefully shaped those. We send a sample to Institute for Materials in Croatia. With one simple question, I asked them whether the material was natural, because it looked like a sandstone, or it was an artificially made material. Their answer, after very sophisticated and advanced analysis, was that was definitely ceramic. Now, if ancient man knew not only how to shape a little ceramic vases and ceramic dishes, but in this particular Bosnian case, ceramic sculptures of 20,000 pounds, obviously they knew some things that we don't know. Now, Kevin, I'm going to give you an update about those megalithic blocks. Namely, this summer, we had done the radio analysis. Actually, we put georadar instruments, and we discovered that those blocks consist of two layers. The first one is the base, and on the top there is something like a lid, like a cover. And in between, according to the georadar specialist, there is an artifact, there is an object, which has a different structure than the block, than the ceramic itself. Meaning that they first poured the base, they put something in there, and they covered with the lid. So isn't the archaeology so exciting? Obviously it is in our case, so every time we find something new. Now,
Sam,
from the last time when we talked, we have advanced a lot in those tunnels.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question about the object that's inside those megalithic structures, megalithic sculptures. Were you able to determine with this technology anything about the shape of the object that's in there? Could you tell anything about what is it?
Well, it's not a big object. It's about, 8 inches long, about 5 inches wide. What we plan to do, of course, we don't want to smash the, megaliths now. What we want to do is to come from the side and drill a very small hole, about half an inch of radius, and then put the tiny little camera with reflector, and then we want to see what exactly that object represents.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing that work this winter. So hopefully next time I give you an update, you will be able to hear what exactly we found there. Now, the location of this megalith is very interesting. We discovered, with little help of people with the dowsing equipment, people who are looking for the underground waters, that 70 feet under the megalith, there is a crossing of two underground rivers, two underground water flows. Now, we know when there is one underground river, there is always energy that comes, on the top of the river going to the surface. But when you have two underground rivers, you have a spiral energy which comes exactly to the megalithic structure we have. Now, we know that these types of structures were able to receive the energy and then slowly release it to the surrounding areas. And next to these blocks, there are several other megaliths. And it seems at one time in the past, this was very important and holy megalithic sites for the ancient people.
You, in the process, you found a pool of water in one of the tunnels. You found these two rivers. Have you had the water tested? Do you know if it's, is it water you could drink, or is it loaded with some sort of minerals or chemicals that would prevent that? What do you know about the water?
Okay. The water was very important for the builders of the Bosnian pyramids for several reasons. First, we have discovered the water in and under the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun and the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon. Secondly, according to the dowsers, there is a river, underground water, that connects all the pyramids, the Sun, the Moon, and Dragon. And then follow the path of the tunnels. Namely, we discovered the entrance to the tunnel a mile and a half from the Sun Pyramid, and the water runs parallel to this tunnel. I think this is very important. They wanted to make those tunnels just next to the water flow. The second thing, which is also very important, we are finding under all our megaliths, underground water flows. So they place those megaliths following the water path. Number three, and this is the most recent discovery that we made this summer, while going towards the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, in one of the side tunnels, which was completely sealed off, when we removed the material, we discovered the first underground lake. It's a small lake. It's about 120 square feet. It's about 2.5 foot deep. but it has a beautiful blue color. If something has a blue color, it means that the water is crisp, it's clean, and it's been there for a long time. The blue color means that it has melted carbonates. So it's not just some small dirty pond. It is, you know, the first lake that we discovered. And we think as we move closer to the pyramids, we will be finding more underground lakes, because water always meant life to the ancient people. As far as the new progress in the tunnels, I can report that this summer we have discovered the first two underground chambers. You know, the tunnels are very interesting because they go in all directions, and the height of the ceilings change. Some places it's only 3 foot high, on other places it goes up to 13 feet. Interestingly enough, those two chambers are 12, 13, 14 feet in height. Both of them have a lot of side tunnels that lead to center of those chambers. Now, we were thinking, what was the purpose of those chambers? Because one of them, the bigger one, which is about 500 square feet in surface and 13 feet in height, has 8 side tunnels, meaning that people were coming from 8 different directions. If they were all coming there, it was obviously a very important meeting place. Now, why would they build something like that? Then we decided to measure the concentration of negative ions. We know that very often, let's say if it is a natural cave, there is a higher concentration of those ions, which basically clean the atmosphere and help people to breathe better. You know, people with asthma, they breathe really nice in those natural caves. Now, this is an artificial tunnel system, so we wouldn't expect to find a high concentration of negative ions.
Samir, we are just about to be run off the air here by a commercial break. It's just a few seconds away. And so before we get too deeply into that and get cut off, this is a good place to back out and let the break happen. And we'll talk about the negative ions in that chamber when we come back. Listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening is Samir Osmanagic, and he is talking. He's the discoverer of and the chief archaeologist of the Bosnian pyramids, and that's what we're talking about. Now, when we went away for break, Sam, you were telling us that you tested the air in one of these chambers and found something about the negative ions.
Yes, sir. We have very exciting discoveries both above the ground and below the ground. Underground, we have the most extensive tunnel network, and we are finding the first chambers. And when we were checking the concentration of the negative ions at the entrance of the tunnel, it was average. It is 1,000 kiloions per cubic centimeter. The same what we have in New York, in Houston, in Budapest, in Sarajevo. But as we were getting inside the tunnels, the concentration was getting higher and higher. And in the first underground chamber, which is about 1,000 feet from the entrance, the concentration is 43 times higher than at the entrance. What does it mean? Those negative ions, they clean the atmosphere. They kill the microbes. In the U.S., you have the companies who made those little machines to, you know, to create the ions in the hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
But in our case, in the natural surroundings, in artificially made tunnels, they found a spot with such a high concentration and with 8 tunnels leading to that chamber, meaning they had a very important and powerful healing spot. So every year when we do some progress in underground tunnel network, we discover something new, so exciting.
Have you been able to determine what is causing the high concentration of negative ions there?
Not at this moment. We just determined the concentration a month ago. But it seems that they had a way of knowing what are the good directions. And it seems that they knew exactly what was under them. Even though the man of the ancient times did not have the computers or cranes or our instruments, they did have a better knowledge about the planet, about the energies, about the underground waters, about the positive and negative spots. So when they built the tunnel network, somehow they knew that it was in a very safe and positive zone. You know, I have had a lot of volunteers and my workers and my experts and tourists and visitors coming to those tunnels. And every one of them, you know, has felt so comfortably inside. People who've been working there for 5, 6, or 8 hours, at the end of the business day, I mean, they are not tired. Even though they've been working hard, removing the material, it seems that, you know, there is something there so positive, full of very good energy.
On some of these megaliths, you have found some ancient writing, kind of runes, symbols etched into them. Have you been able to determine what any of those may say or what language it may be?
We have two important issues with the writings that we are finding. The first one is if they represent an alphabet or if they have some meanings. Now, obviously, in some cases, the things that they've been carved there, they look like an alphabet and letters. On some others, we can see that they were communicating to each other by the arrows, showing, you know, in which direction one should go, because don't forget this is a labyrinth. I mean, you need to know exactly which direction to go. So this is the first thing, to determine if it is similar to anything that we know of. And sure enough, we discovered that the oldest European writings, which is called runic writings, and which originated in the area of today's Hungary. It's about 5,000 years old. We found similarities between the runic writings and the carved symbols that we are discovering on those stone blocks. Now, we found so far 5 symbols that they are almost identical to runic writings, and at this point, it doesn't tell us a lot. And I think it would take another 5 or 10 megaliths with a lot of symbols, a lot of, you know, letters of that alphabet to determine, yes, this is an example of runic writings in Bosnian underground tunnels. So we have to be careful with the conclusion. The second question is the age of the symbols and the age of these signs of literacy. You see, we are finding those blocks under the conglomerate. The conglomerate is a natural accumulation. Whenever you have a flood, when the water recedes, you have behind the stones, the pebbles, the rocks, the sand. And with time, all those you know, layers accumulate, they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually when they become compact, we call it in geological terminology, you know, we call it the conglomerate. Now, the stones are under the conglomerate, meaning that these blocks are older. Somebody moved them before those floods started. We found a piece of wood in the conglomerate, and we sent it to the radiocarbon dating to Poland and Germany. In Germany, that was the most famous lab in Europe at the Christian Albrecht University. In Poland, it's Silesian University of Technology in Gliwice, and they confirmed that that piece of wood was 32,000 years old, meaning that the process of conglomeration started over 30,000 years ago. But at the same time, it means that those blocks, those megaliths, were moved in the area more than 30,000 years. So what does it mean? It means that we did have illiterate people in the area in such an ancient past. Now, when we compare that with the results of the modern anthropological genetics, which is based on DNA testing, and which tells us the origin of every nation and migrations of those nations in the world, we realized that the oldest people in Europe are Basques in Spain. And the second oldest cultural oasis is in the Balkan region, in Bosnia, in Herzegovina, in Dalmatia, on Adriatic islands. The age between 35 and 40,000 years. So I think that we are finding the material proof, the physical proof, of the first Homo sapiens who came to the southern Europe, to the Balkan region. So this is one of the sensational discoveries so far. And guess what? The first civilization, they were not the pyramid builders. They came a little bit later.
So you say the pyramid builders came later?
Yes. You see what happened? The first cultural layer are the megalithic culture. The same like, you know, Stonehenge mm-hmm. in England, Karnak in Western France, and, you know, other places. But they were gone probably 30,000 years ago. You know, we had catastrophe on the planet. We had floods on the planet. And 12,500 years ago, the second civilization came. And they were the pyramid builders and the tunnel builders. How do we know that? What is the connection between the tunnels and the pyramid? Well, when they build the tunnels, they dig them in those, you know, conglomerate layers. And they got all this material out. And like I said, conglomerate consists of rocks and pebbles and sand. And they use that material as the construction material for the pyramid. What they did, they mixed that material with the binding material and they made a concrete blocks. How do we know that? Well, we took the samples from those blocks and then we sent the samples to six labs. One of the labs was in France, another one was in Italy, four of them in Bosnia. So when they analyzed that, they told us this is an artificially man-made concrete of exceptional quality. What did they use as the binding material? They used clay. And clay, you know, you can find it in large quantities around. How did they use clay as the binder? Well, they ground the clay, they mix it with the water, they heat it up to 500 degrees, and then the clay is getting the binding properties. The ancient Romans knew that 2,000 years ago. But also, people who built the Bosnian pyramids knew that, but much, much before than the ancient Romans. So, now, every cubic meter of the material they got by digging those tunnels, they used it to make a cover for the pyramid. So we can say that they were the first eco friendly civilization. Now, let's go back to the tunnel. When they made those tunnels, now they got a huge network which runs for tens of miles. On one hand, they got the construction material, you know, for their concrete blocks. But why did they make those tunnels in the first place? Well, obviously, to connect all the pyramids in the valley. And not only the pyramids, because the tunnels are going in all directions. So obviously they are connecting the water wells, other structures, and some other important places, which tells us that the real size of the Valley of the Pyramids are not only the five pyramids that we already located, the pyramids of the sun and the moon and the dragon and the earth and the love, but much, much bigger area. So that was the second function of the tunnels. The first one, construction material. The second one, to connect all the structures. There is another one, which we just talked about. They made those tunnels above some very important energy spots. So they got the area underground, which was so beneficial for them. So I would say those people were smart, they knew this planet, and they knew what they were doing.
I know you were talking about the early inhabitants of the Balkans, but at that point you were saying that they were the, as I understand it, you were saying that's who built these megaliths. But who would have come in and built the pyramids? Any idea about that?
Well, some of the geologists are saying it's impossible that there are advanced civilizations.
Sam, I apologize. I wasn't watching the clock. And a break is taking over. So we'll get to the answer to that question when we come back from this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. We are back, and we are talking this evening with Sam Osmanagic, the discoverer and chief archaeologist of the Bosnian pyramids. When they first were announced, a lot of establishment-type so-called experts said he was all wet, that those were not pyramids. But time has proven they were all wet, and they are pyramids and massive ones. Sam, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence when we went away, so let me give you the floor so you can continue.
You see, a lot of people in cultural establishment don't like change. Once they obtain their professorships, their PhDs, their positions in the institutes, universities, and so on, they don't like change because they think that they know everything. At that point, they become an obstacle to the scientific progress. 5 years ago, when I first announced that the first European pyramids had been discovered in Bosnia, all of them attacked me, from the local archaeologists, historians, and geologists in Bosnia, to people in Croatia, Germany, France, United Kingdom, US. They had been writing petitions, three of them, to the Bosnian government, to the UNESCO, to stop the project. They didn't only say that, you know, there is nothing there, but they wanted the government to stop the investigation. The only way to prove or disprove someone's hypothesis is to dig, to test, to date. Well, I can tell you this, they did not succeed. In the last 5 years, we kept digging, we kept, you know, sample testing and radiocarbon dating, and now we can say for sure that the human history will never look the same. Not only that, the discovery of the Barzian pyramids will start the changes all over the world. All other discoveries that happened, from Yonaguni underwater monuments to the Chinese pyramids, Peruvian and the new Mexican pyramids, and new datings of Peruvian and Mexican pyramids, and new ideas about the builders and the origin of Egyptian pyramids, will ask us not to view them as the anomalies, but to understand that humanity have been developing in cycluses. Before this cyclus was another one, and another one, and another one.
Now, well, you use the word anomaly, and I want to throw something in here. It is just my opinion, but these so-called anomalies are not anomalies at all. They are facts that refused to go away. Exactly. And what's anomalous is refusing to acknowledge these facts.
Exactly. And then when you surface so many proofs, like in our case, they simply ignore you. Unfortunately, they have the influence to media, to the public, and they don't let media write about your discoveries. Let me remind you, 5 years ago, when I announced the news, everybody was talking about it. But when I started digging and finding those concrete blocks, which was proof to my theory, then Associated Press in Sarajevo, the Reuters journalists in Sarajevo, the France Press, and so on, they stopped writing about the discovery, because they got the signals from their quarters, from New York, from Paris, and other places, not to write or not to report about it anymore, because these are huge changes. The cultural establishment will need to admit that they are wrong. They have been wrong for centuries. We need to change the way how we teach our kids. They need to be open-minded. The scientists, no matter what age they are, they need to stay open-minded all their lives. Now, you asked me about the age, about the symbols, and so on. Well, you see, in the case of Europe, geologists often say, well, during the Ice Age, up until 12,000 years ago, everything in Europe was covered by thick layer of ice. Well, they are wrong. Everything north from Austria was covered by thick layer of ice, meaning there was not today's France or Poland or Germany or Scandinavian countries, because the layer of ice was about 1.5 miles thick. But everything south from Austria, today's Bosnia, Croatia, southern parts of Italy, Spain, Greece, Turkey, and so on, they had never had layers of ice, meaning they were good places to live. And sure enough, the temperature was only 5 degrees less in average. We've always had a lot of greenery, a lot of woods, a lot of forests. When you have forests, it means you have food. There are always abundance of water. With the food and the water and the presence of Homo sapiens, you had all the elements for the advanced cultures, especially if they lived there for a long time. And in our case, it's been 40,000 years in the Balkan that people have been living continuously. Kevin, you were in the Balkan region 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know that in history books, in schools, in media, they teach those guys, they taught us that, we are coming from the Slavic nations, from the Slavs, mm-hmm. that we came to Balkan, 1,300 years ago. And that's all wrong. Thanks to the DNA testing and the new genetics, we know that the people in the central Balkan region, they got origin 40,000 years back, and 2/3 of Bosnians have that origin. So we need to change everything. So I always say, most of their teachers about the ancient history and the history in general is wrong.
Oh, well, and these guys have doctor's degrees in fiction, but they're never going to admit that it's fiction. But as I said, you know, if you're stand, if we, you got an, a guy that says he's an expert, and he's got that PhD on his name, he says he's an expert, he's standing here on a planet that's 4.5 billion years old, and this guy calls something that's 10,000 years old ancient. Now, what kind of expert is that? 10,000 years is a spit in the wind against 4.5 billion. Now, they tell us that, you know, we humans, we Homo sapiens, have just not been around all that long. And yet, we find, and you're finding, evidence that they were around, and at a time when the experts say it couldn't be, and yet the evidence is. And it's, as I said about the anomalies, those anomalies are not anomalies. Those are facts that refuse to go away.
In China, there are 250 pyramids. They are all covered by soil and vegetation. Well, the Chinese archaeologists, when I was there, they were investigating the smaller, the satellite pyramids, and they were so inferior, you know, built from the mud and the brick. But the biggest pyramids that are built from granite and sandstone blocks, they don't have permission to investigate. Why? Because they are much, much older than the known history in China. So there is, you know, not only, you know, some places like Egypt or Mexico, but obviously in China and the others, there is desire of the establishment to hide the facts. The same was in, if it was with Bosnia. You know, when people asked in the beginning, how old are the Bosnian pyramids? Well, at that time, the only thing I could tell them was, you know, to present the results of the Institute for Pedology from Sarajevo, from Bosnia. When they analyzed the samples from the Bosnian pyramids of the sun and the moon, they said the samples of soil on this clay substrate are 12,000 years old, meaning that the pyramids have been covered for more than 12,000 years. So now the real question is, well, when the pyramids themselves have been built, obviously more than that. So when I said that, then the controversy started. Well, you know, it's not me who's responsible for the controversy, because I go by the scientific facts and scientific arguments. The problem is in the heads of those people in the establishment who does not want, for some reason, to accept the new scientific facts. Really, with all these discoveries, like you said also, what we need to do, we need to change the scientific paradigm that we live in. I mean, it belongs to the distant past. Let's start changing our view of the ancient history. That will help us get some answers.
All right, Sam, we have to step away for a break again, and we'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We are delighted to have you. I am so sorry you missed the first hour, and you missed several universes of information. We're talking with Sam Osmanagic. He is the discoverer and chief archaeologist of the Bosnian pyramids. Sam, in just a moment, we're going to open up the telephone line so that our audience can join us, and they may have some questions for you, and maybe some comments. There may be someone out there across this wide, vast audience who has been to the Bosnian Pyramid site. You've seen it yourself, and if so, we certainly would like to hear from you when we open the phone lines. But one thing I want to do, I want to revisit the 32,000-year date. And you were able to date it because of a piece of wood that was found in the conglomerate surrounding one of these monolithic structures. And that piece of wood dated to 32,000 years ago.
That's right. As a matter of fact, we have done 6 radiocarbon analyses in Germany, Poland, and Sweden. And they are in a range from 3,000 to 32,000 years. Now, obviously, the area has been rich in the cultures in the past, but it seems that the first megalithic culture is over 30,000 years old. The second, the pyramid builders and the tunnel builders, are more than 12,000 years old. The third one, the people who came and sealed off all the tunnels, about 5,000 years. And finally, we have the Neolithic man between 3 and 5,000 years in the past. Now, Kevin, I want to give you another update on some measurements we've done as far as the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun goes. Namely, we asked physicians from our neighbors from Croatia. They came with the special, instruments to measure the electromagnetic waves, the fields, to see if there are some anomalies there. And they were checking around the pyramid and on different sides of the pyramids, and everything seemed to be normal up to the moment when they climbed the top of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. On the very top, in the radius of about 13 feet, there was the energy radiation, an energy beam coming from the center of the pyramid, going through the center of the top plateau. They measured it, and they measured in all ranges, hertz, kilohertz, megahertz, and gigahertz. And in the range of the kilohertz, between 20 and 40 kilohertz, they were able to, measure the presence of the energy, the continuous energy coming from the center of the pyramid. Now, if it was a sound, then it would be ultrasound, because that's something that we cannot hear. But since this is an energy, electromagnetic source, an energy beam, we cannot see it. And it's, of course, it travels the light speed. But the question is, how come you have continuous energy beam coming from the center of the pyramid? You have to have source. The source can be mechanical, it can be electromagnetic, it can be the piezoelectrical effect. The piezoelectrical effect is when you push or when you hit the quartz crystal. The problem is, with the 20 kilohertz, it means that somebody is hitting the quartz crystal inside the pyramid 20,000 times per second. So in any case, if you have to have source, obviously the source is artificial. So now with this measurement, we have made a pioneering step in trying to understand and define the purpose of the pyramid structures all over the world. No responsible and serious scientist should agree in the future that Egyptian pyramids are built as tombs. No serious scientist in the future will say that the Mayan pyramids, were built as a place to sacrifice the enemy. We need to find the true purpose. And I think with these measurements of huge energy sources within the Bosnian pyramids, we are on a good path to determine that.
Now, you said that you think that the source of this energy beam is artificial.
Well, this is what we measured on instruments. And we had two measurements, one in April of 2010, another one at the end of the June of 2010. The same people, they came with the instruments, different instruments both times. They reset the instruments, they calibrated the instruments, they were using several, you know, independent instruments. Every time, the same result. For 3 continuous days, we have a continuous energy beam coming from the center of the pyramid. And not only that.
That's phenomenal.
If you had the source of the, you know, somewhere inside the pyramid, then you would expect that the intensity of the energy beam is getting weaker as it goes up. But what we have in our case is quite the opposite. The intensity is getting stronger. Now, it is completely opposite to our physical laws. What's happening there, we are not quite sure. We're going to have another team from another university, but it seems that we are just started unveiling the mystery of the pyramids.
Wow, that's just phenomenal. Phenomenal. I want to open up the telephone lines and allow the audience to join us. And folks, let me give you the telephone numbers very quickly. The main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. If you need to call me on a toll-free number, you can do so at 888-223-4599. And if you are outside, underscore that now, you're outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number out there internationally. So I have something called Flash Message. You can go to my website, and just to the right of the graphic that is about tonight's show, on the right side, there's a link that says Flash Message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hey. Yeah, I'd like to ask your guest, doesn't he think that these energies coming from these pyramids have anything to do with quantum energy?
With what energy?
Quantum energy.
Oh, quantum energy. Well,
yes.
At this point, we don't have enough information. Right now, we know that energy beam is continuous, that the radius is the same. It's about 13 feet. We know that it intensifies as it goes, you know, higher, because we measure it on the surface. Then we measure it on 2 different places higher, like 10 and 20 feet higher. So this is something that really does not happen on this planet. So what does it mean? Either this energy source is very weird and it acts differently than anything that we know, or the second option is that the energy source is above us. But in that case, I mean, what are we talking about? Do we have some artificial energy source above us that we don't know of? Now, it opens up a lot of questions. And why is the energy beam going, you know, through the center inside the pyramid? Is it possible that we have the same phenomenon in a case like, let's say, the Pyramid of the Sun in Teotihuacan in Mexico, the Great Pyramid of Egypt, the biggest pyramids in China, Peru, and other places? It's possible. Just we need to go there and measure it. The problem is, people like Zahi Hawass in Egypt, they don't let anyone do any measurements. They are different than their theory about the pyramids as the tombs for the pharaohs. The same thing in Mexico or China. So I think that the new times are coming. We need to have more and more independent researchers. And even people from the mainstream scientific circles who are open enough and who will approach the pyramids. not only from the archaeological standpoint of view, but from the interdisciplinary standpoint of view. Let's geologists, satellite experts, geophysicists, physicists, and the other go and do the measurement. And I think we are giving a very good example in the case of Bosnian pyramids.
Back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hi, Rusty.
Hi, Kevin. Did you get your tooth taken care of?
No.
Yeah, that can be a bother.
Yeah.
Samir, did I say that right?
Yes. Yes.
Hello, Samir. Do you think there's going to be these energies that are in those pyramids? You think they're healing energies?
Well, the question of the pyramids and energy is rather complex. That energy beam I mentioned, there's just one type of the energy that can be measured. The second type of energy is the energy flow within the pyramid. 60 years ago, we realized that there are some, specific energy flows within the pyramid, and it hits approximately one-third of the height of the pyramid, and then it goes back. And interestingly enough, the King's Chamber in Great Pyramid of Egypt is located exactly on the one-third of the height, meaning that it is exposed mostly to this energy flow. It seems that this energy kind of stimulates, the molecular structure. And also it seems that the energy of the pyramid improves the molecular structure. And we know of the experiments, when you put the razor blades, which is used inside the pyramid for 24 hours, it got sharpened. When you put the glass of milk in the pyramid, another one on the kitchen table, one on the kitchen table will go bad in 3 days, the one in the pyramid won't. The same thing with the raw meat and so on, but the same thing with the human beings. So whoever built those structures, they knew more about the energy than we do. And finally, the third type of the energy is the one which got released on the surface in some type of the concentric circles. And this energy is very beneficial to our crops and to our agriculture. So whoever built them, they knew that they're going to affect it in a very positive way. Now, with those three types of energies, I think that we are on our way to explain the main purpose of these structures. Whether they produce the energy to warm up the area, we don't know that yet. But I think that we will need to develop the instrumentation to be able to measure all these different types of energy.
Okay. Wow, that is quite involved, isn't it? So, yeah. Did I hear you say then that these energies do emanate outside of the pyramid? In other words, you don't have to be in them to take, to get advantage from them?
I had tourists come to Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. When they would go on the top, somehow they would feel so much better, and they would be filled with the positive energy and with the love. And, that was a changing moment in their life. I mean, when they would go back to their cities and their countries, when they would write the letters to me, they would say, gosh, we still, feel that positive energy from the Bosnian pyramids. Now, with that said, it seems that the energy of the pyramids can influence not only the crops, but it can influence the society. You see, what kind of surroundings we have. We live in societies with so much hatred and bad emotions and the wars and violence, jealousy and things like that. There is a possibility when they build the main pyramidal complexes in the past that with those pyramids they were able to benefit the societies. Instead of huge quantities of negative energies, they had the positive energy. So instead of having violence and, you know, envies and the jealousies, they had the love and friendships and peaceful societies. So there is a possibility that in the past, the pyramids were acting as some type of the protection for the society.
All right. Rusty, thank you for the call. And Terry, thank you for your call. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number here in the studio, and the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. If you have a question about the Bosnian pyramids, this is the guy to talk to. In fact, if you have a question about pyramids, because, Sam, you studied pyramids all over the world for 25 years before you made this discovery, right?
Exactly right. My PhD is about the Mayan civilizations and their pyramids in Honduras, Guatemala, Salvador, Belize, and Mexico. But also, I've investigated pyramids in Peru, in Bolivia, in China, in Egypt, on Canary Islands and Mauritius. And, you know, people always think that pyramids are the result of highly sophisticated society that had to be hundreds of thousands of slaves. That's wrong. I mean, slaves did not build the pyramids. I was on Canary Islands, which is of the western coast of Africa, and then I went to the eastern coast of Africa on the island of Mauritius, in the middle of the Indian Ocean. 5,000 miles apart, both islands have the pyramids, a nice-sized step stone pyramids built from the volcanic stone. They are exactly the same. You can see the same architect, most probably the same time of the building, and they are both cases oriented towards the summer solstice. Just the summer solstice on Canary Island is on June 21st, and in the case of Mauritius, you know, is on December 21st. So how to explain that? When I show those photos and my preliminary reports from Canary Islands and Mauritius to my Egyptian colleagues in Cairo and Alexandria, they stopped talking to me because they thought they are the only ones who build the pyramids, and it should be 100,000, you know, slaves and pharaonic, you know, empire and things like that. And that's wrong. I mean, the pyramids are built everywhere. It's just that we do not know the purpose.
All right, back to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Give the antibiotics a few more days. It should kick in.
Well, the antibiotics are doing well. The question was, did I get the tooth fixed? No.
No, you're not. I understand that. I have a neighbor who's in the same situation you are. Samir,
yes.
I'm thinking more about the ceramic things on the inside. Is there any way you can x-ray those to find out if there's a lid or anything so you don't have to drill into?
Well, really, we are just scratching the surface. In the case of the Sun and the Moon pyramids, we have opened our archaeological trenches, respecting, you know, all the archaeological methods. We have archaeologists, geologists, geophysicists, paleontologists in our scientific team. And we have people helping us. We have a lot of volunteers who came this year and last year, and we're going to have more next year. And basically, we approach it very carefully. So the area that's been excavating is less than 1% of the pyramids, in the case of the Sun Pyramid. We have about 16 archaeological trenches. But they were very important to give us an idea about the coverage, about the concrete blocks. We've done several core drilling to see what the, you know, section and the stratigraphy looks like. So we know that there is a construction material there. There is a clay, there is a concrete, there is a sandstone blocks, and so on. Now, the very interesting thing is, when we had our Russian colleagues 2 years ago, Professor Kavroshkin and Professor Tsiplakov from the Schmidt Institute of Russian Academy of Sciences, they brought the equipment, which helped us that in a non-destructive way determine that the whole pyramid has been built from the bottom to top, from the foundation up. How do we know that? Because they found inhomogeneities, meaning the pyramid is not compact, it didn't used to be a hill before, but they built the structure from the ground up. Secondly, they determined the existence of the tunnels below the pyramids. Now, when we discovered two entrances to the tunnels, they were rather away from the pyramids. So we know that eventually we're going to connect to those tunnels under the pyramid and find the chambers and so on. So everything we do in a non-destructive way, trying to preserve the original look of the structures above and below ground.
Any idea why you told us that at about 5,000 years ago a civilization filled the tunnels?
Yes.
Any idea why?
Yes, I think we have a pretty good idea. Namely, obviously at one point the tunnels were wide open. You had underground labyrinths connecting all the pyramids going in all directions. But then after the original builders were gone, and probably in other catastrophic events, did that, maybe the end of last ice age, a few thousand years later, people are coming. They are rediscovering the biggest underground tunnel network and the biggest pyramids. And who knows what they found inside the pyramids. That was something big. It was not a local secret, but something of global importance. So they decided to hide it and hide it really well. When we go to those tunnels, we are not finding the bones, artifacts, tools. So obviously somebody systematically cleaned everything. After they cleaned that, they filled it up with the material from the outside, from the riverbeds, clay and the stones and rocks. They fill up the section of the tunnels, and then they would build a wall, a drywall. Now they would, cover another 10 or 15 feet, they built another wall, and so on and so on. So all the side tunnels,
okay, we have to step away for a break, and when we come back, I want to get back in the tunnels, and let's talk about these tunnels being filled. I got a question or two about that. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Some of the music used here on The Kevin Smith Show comes from the great independent artists at GarageBand.com. Go to GarageBand.com and check out the fabulous selection they have of great independent music by great independent artists. GarageBand.com. Check it out. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Sam Osmanigic. And although I never have referred to him as such, he is Dr. Osmanigic. And we're very privileged to have him with us, talking with us about the Bosnian pyramids. Sam, when we went away for break, we're talking about who filled these tunnels and why. You said it happened about 5,000 years ago, and your theory is that they found something very important in there.
Well, based on the organic material that we are finding in the fill-up material, I would say the age when the tunnels were filled up with the material was about 5,000 years back. We are finding some, pieces of the people were doing the fire logs, things like that. So obviously there was some action 5,000 years back. And so far there's the oldest organic material that we discovered, inside the tunnels. Now, people who help us to clean those tunnels are mostly volunteers. And that's another thing that we developed this year, Kevin, from June to the end of September, and we are just, you know, completing our action there. We organized the International Summer Camp for Volunteers, and the chance is given to the people all over the world to come and take part in the archaeological project. In most cases, the archaeology is elite science, and you cannot really break into their, you know, circles. But in our case, even though this is probably the biggest archaeological discovery, we said, well, this project does not belong to one man, to one non-profit foundation, not even to one country. It belongs to the world. It's the world's cultural heritage, and we are open for everyone. We invite mainstream scientists, conservative scientists, alternative scientists, researchers, students, professors, people who have no clue about the archaeology, and under the supervision of our, you know, a team of experts, they work with us. In the tunnels, they help us remove all this lab material, so we can continue our way through those tunnels. And like I said in the beginning of the show, just this summer, we discovered two underground chambers and one underground lake, you know, thanks to those volunteers. And, you know, it made me really proud this summer to be there. We have had volunteers, young people, and those who feel young in their hearts, in Bosnia, in the country previously known, and you know that better than anyone else, for the violence and for the war and for the war criminals and for all these negative emotions, all of a sudden, we change all that. We change that to archaeological digging, cultural heritage, you know, archaeological tourism, young people coming from all over the world. We had people from 30 different countries, from six continents, from New Zealand and Australia, Malaysia and Bangladesh, Egypt and Canada, U.S., Holland, Italy, Hungary, Croatia, Serbia, and so on. When I see those young people, how they work with a smile, because they feel important that they do something big, something in the, you know, the beginning phase of huge discovery, it makes me proud. It made them proud. So this way, I invite your listener to join us in any way possible. They can come, they can work with us, they can help us in any way, you know, through their computers, they can stay informed, but we want to make sure that the world knows about this discovery.
Okay, let's go back to the telephone lines, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm much improved.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. We need you on the microphone. Samir?
Yes.
Yeah, this is all very exciting and quite fascinating news, and I hope you do get your way and be able to turn academia around on its heels and hope they start realizing that maybe it is time to start telling the truth and changing their tune a little bit about our past history. But I was going to ask you, what do you expect to find in the pyramid complex, if anything?
Well, people often ask me, you expect to find some gold or some other type of valuables? And my answer is, the mere fact that we discovered a huge complex above the ground, the biggest pyramids, and a huge complex underground is sensational. And that's the most valuable thing that we could ever imagine. Now, of course, once we discovered the real purpose, and obviously, it does have to do something with the energy, a huge amount of energy. Then we can say, well, yes, we fulfill our mission. In the meantime, it is possible that we're going to be finding more physical proof, more physical evidence of the original builders and of the people who are coming after them. What you're going to find, hard to say. As you know, in the Great Pyramid of Egypt, there is nothing there. I mean, mm-hmm. they have three passageways and three chambers, but there are no royal furniture, no hieroglyphic writings. There is really no proof who built those structures. Cheops, Khafre, Mycerin, the Bent Pyramid, Red Pyramid, the Step Pyramid in Meidum and the others in Egypt, those pyramids, they still are waiting for the answers. The same thing with the Mayan pyramid, the same thing with the almost 300 pyramids in Peru, and the same thing with the pyramids in China, at least 20 biggest pyramids in China. So like I said, it's very hard to compare. The problem is what they've been teaching us was wrong when it comes to Egyptian pyramids. Somehow they connected the Egyptian pharaohs with the pyramids, stating, oh, there are tombs. But like I said, no Egyptian pyramid, you know, had bones or mummies or skeletons of their rulers. But they were discovered in the Valley of Kings, 200 miles south. So what we're going to find, I don't know. But I think it looks like that the Bosnian pyramids are more like mechanisms or energy machines than they were built to bury someone. So they were built for the living people, not for dead people.
Kevin, do you have another question or a comment?
No, I'd just like to say to Samir, I wish you all the best, and I certainly look forward to hearing about your new discoveries as they come along, and all the best in the future. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Of course, you know, you can read our daily news on our website, which is on six different languages, on English. The website, if I may, Kevin.
Sure.
It's the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun.com. A little bit long, but the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun.com.
All right. Telephone number, folks, is 623-444-5889. Or toll free at 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, I've got two things. The first one was a comment from myself, mm-hmm. and then the second one was a question.
All right.
First thing being 10,000 years, you'd have to times that by 100,000 to make 1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much when I hear people, historians, talk about anything ancient, to me that's like saying that you have a degree in 0 plus 0 equals negative 7 and believing it. My next comment is a question. In South Mountain, Jeff Woolheim reports that a good portion of these things that he sees that are on the petroglyphs over there come out of pyramid-shaped mountains.
Mm-hmm.
In the Andes, and in South America, they have everything from rock that looks like it was cut with laser to pyramids. I wanted to know if there's any evidence of pyramids having anything scientifically to do with energy, and what do you think it was used for? And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, investigating pyramids all over the world, I concluded that there are some common elements for all of them. There are like five elements. The first one is, of course, the geometry. If you want to name something a pyramid, it has to have the geometry of the pyramid. It means triangular faces. It can be three, four, five, or more. But in most cases, it is four triangular faces. So you can see the corners, things like that. The second element is the orientation. For some reason, the biggest pyramids on Giza Plateau in China, most of them in Peru or even Guatemala and in Bosnia, they are perfectly oriented towards the cardinal points, east, west, north, and south. The third element is the construction material. Now, you mentioned that sometimes you have natural hills that have been shaped. Well, in the case of Bosnian pyramids, it's not the case, because we can see the construction material. We can see the concrete blocks. In other cases, you know, people always use their local materials. In the case of Peru, you mentioned Peru, well, all of their pyramids are built from the adobe bricks. In the case of Guatemala, they are built from the volcanic stone. In the case of Egypt, they were built from the limestone and from the granite, from Aswan. The fourth element is the existence of the inner passageways that usually lead to the chambers within the pyramids. We have the same case in China, in Egypt, in Peru, and now we have it in Bosnia. And the fifth element is the existence of the underground tunnels. In central Chinese province of Shanxi, all the pyramids have underground tunnels that lead to the underground chambers. In the case of Egyptian pyramids on Giza Plateau, we know that the Great Pyramid of Egypt is connected to the Khafre's Pyramid, that one to Meseren, that one to Sphinx, and finally all of them to the River Nile. The same thing with the Teotihuacan. Under their biggest pyramids, the Sun Pyramids, there is a network of the tunnels that leads to like four chambers under the pyramid. So those five elements are present in the case of all the pyramids or main pyramidal complexes in the world. What does it mean? It means that there was a connection, there was a communication, there was exchange of the architectural information between the continents, between those civilizations. And it changes, you know, our perception of the ancient history. We were always talking about the Egyptians doing their stuff on their continent, Peru, you know, different things, China, different things, but no. The pyramid investigation showed that there was a connection, there was exchange of the info between the continents in the distant past.
All right, we have a break coming up, and we're only about 10 seconds away from that. When we come back from this break, I've got at least three flash messages from around the world that we need to get to, and we'll get those questions answered. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and we have several flash messages from places around the world for us to get to. The first one has two questions. We don't have time for both, and I'm afraid, Sam, you'll have to keep the answers fairly short because we want to make sure we get all of these in. This is from Kevin in Australia, and he says, Mr. Osmanagic, what was the core substance of the building material used in these Bosnian pyramids, and are they the same as other pyramids around the world? Are you with us, Sam? Well, apparently not. Okay. Well, he was there just before we came back from break. All right, we'll see if we can get him back, and we'll try to get those answered if we can. Sam Osmani, get you back with us. Sam, we've got three flash messages that we have to get to, if we can, all three of them, before we run out of time. So unfortunately, the answers will have to be fairly short. But this one from Kevin in Australia. Mr. Osmanigic, what was the core substance of the building material used in these Bosnian pyramids? And are they the same as other pyramids around the world?
No, the construction materials are always different. In Egypt, it's limestone. In Peru, it's bricks. In Guatemala and Mexico, volcanic stone. In the case of Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, it's concrete blocks made from the conglomerate and the clay as the binder. In the case of the Moon Pyramid in Bosnia, it is sandstone and clay. So it seems that the construction material was not so important, but geometry and the orientation.
Okay, from Muna in United Arab Emirates. Hi, Kevin. Fascinating show. Is Dr. Osmanigic familiar with the Pyramid Trilogy by Dr. Joseph Farrell? The Giza Death Star is the book that he mentions. And what are your thoughts about that, if you're familiar with it?
In the building of the pyramids and the whole pyramidal sites, in Egypt, Mexico, China, Peru, Bosnia, astronomical knowledge has been incorporated. We can see that the layout of the pyramids in Egypt and Mexico, Teotihuacan, that they match the layout of the stars in Orion belts. In the case of Bosnian pyramids, three main pyramids, the sun, moon, and the dragon, they form a perfect equilateral triangle, with 1.5 miles distance between the tops of those three pyramids. But also, it seems that we have seven structures, so maybe there is some link with the star system of Pleiades. So we are to learn more how and why those structures were built in the ancient times.
Peter in Colombia asks, are there any entity or UFO reports in connection with the pyramids that you are investigating?
The matter of fact, even though we do not investigate that aspect, but some people who came and they shot, they filmed the Pyramids of the Sun, they claim that there are some, UFOs on their films, and they can be even found on the YouTubes. And like I said, even though we promote mostly the, recognized scientific methods, but interdisciplinary, I know some people who claim that they've seen some flying objects or some interesting energies above the pyramids. Also, there are some interesting energy phenomena that anyone can film on their cameras when they go inside the tunnels. Namely, there are some, energy circles or energy balls, perfect, circle. And it seems that you can even call upon them and they will show up and then, they can stay on your photos. So I think there is a lot of energy phenomenon associated with the Bosnian pyramids.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time. And I want to thank you for being with us. Before we run out of time, I want to be sure and thank you, but I do have another question. And that is, did you grow up in this area of Bosnia?
Yes. I spent 30 years in Bosnia and Croatia and former Yugoslavia. And for the last 20 years, I've been here in the States, in Houston, but actually in the last 5 years, 5 out of 20, I've been traveling back and forth, and I've been spending more time in Bosnia. I got married in Bosnia now, and so it seems that my destiny is to give 100% of my time to this phenomenon because it is so important globally.
Okay, now, the 30 years, the first 30 years of your life you spent in the former Yugoslavia, and I would assume the first few of those 30, at least, you were growing up in the area near these pyramids. How many times have you been past these pyramids and didn't notice that it was a pyramid?
Probably a lot. But you see, every one of us, Kevin, has the mission in the life. Only when I left this area, last 20 years, I've been investigating the pyramids all over the world, in Mexico, Guatemala, Peru, Mauritius, China, Egypt, and so on. So when I came back to Bosnia 5 years ago, when I first saw those regular hills, even though covered in forests and by soil, and when I saw the perfect geometry, when I saw the perfect orientation and matching the cardinal points, there was no doubt in my head. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I had to be prepared first. I had to learn the pyramids all over the world, and then go back to my country and finally recognize them.
Uh-huh.
Because they've been there for thousands of years, and for some reason, we had to wait until 21st century came to uncover them and uncover the secrets.
Well, the reason I ask is this. I think there are unmistakable and wonderful truths from the past sticking up all around us, but we are just so busy or so familiar with those objects that we never stop to really consider what they may be.
Mm-hmm.
And we're overlooking a lot of evidence of high civilization way, way into the past. And I'm persuaded that it's all around us.
Exactly. No doubt about it.
Samir, thank you for being with us. If you will stay on the line with me for just a moment as I bring the show to a close. Ladies and gentlemen, Samir Osmanagic. Dr. Osmanagic has a website, BosnianPyramidOfTheSun.com, and that's the one in English. Check it out. The time has come for me to say, my friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.